My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 6:30, why have teams chosen to de-emphasize the preseason so much? We did a lot on Take Command this morning about that, as well as some obviously, some raw, guys that actually did play discussion, but we'll give you that at 6:30. Right now, just after 6 o'clock on a Monday, it's the last time we do this preseason version. Who were the 6 players we looked at Friday that we are most interested in for the Commanders Patriots, and how do they do on a Monday? Well, that will do in regular season as well, and last preseason version right now, a Monday edition of the Pick 6.
The 6 biggest Commander storylines. Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All righty. We picked 6 players who we were really interested to watch and we thought could be intriguing in terms of their effect on the rest of the roster. And Anthony, you started with...
Number 1. Martavis Bryant. Good choice. To be honest, I think all of our picks were pretty good.
We're basically savants.
Yeah. I started out with Martavis just because, again, they signed this guy in the offseason. They gave him another chance. Dan Quinn, he also, spoke about his journey in the post-game presser. But being able to see Martavis go out there, catch a touchdown, all the, players surround him and, encourage him and just congratulate him on having scored his first touchdown in over 7 years, was pretty inspiring. But also the things that he did throughout the game, he was able to draw a defensive penalty.
Two DPIs.
So I think this game necessarily didn't seal his fate, in terms of, making the roster, but it did show us, he still has something left in the tank. And I think that's what Adam Peters and, Cliff Kingsbury, Dan Quinn, that's what they wanted to see out of the guy. And I think he did he went out there and, he played solid.
I totally agree. I think I do not think he will make the roster.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if they took a flyer on him. And we're just like, we think he can do this against dudes. The problem is he's probably your 6th receiver. And does your 6th receiver not playing special teams actually wind up being active on game day? And so they could keep him and just make him inactive on game day. The other 5 are the guys that are going to be, up and playing offense and playing teams. And, if someone gets hurt, then he's on your roster. You don't have to call him off the practice squad. You don't have to protect him. Because the other, one of the things that we didn't talk about during the roster projection is you have 4 practice squad players you can protect every single week where other teams can't poach them. But he's a guy that, he's someone else is intrigued. Could they poach him? Could Dallas be like, we saw him last year too. We're intrigued. Like, I don't know. I could make the case that a dude who's 6'4", 210 pounds, a former first-round pick, and still has shown the ability to do some of the things that got him drafted there and was productive early in his career before his life took a turn, now that he's turned back around, is worth keeping. I just think that he's also doing this against not number ones. And so you got to earn your way up. And in the name of competition, I don't think he did that in his time here, even though we did a lot of stuff right. He just didn't have time to climb the ladder. They didn't give him time to climb the ladder because there's other guys that had deserved it ahead of him. So I think Brian's super interesting. I'd probably keep him around on the practice squad. I think having that body type to practice against is great, especially in a division where AJ Brown exists. So with that, that's kind of where I'm at on Brian. I think they're going to go thin at receiver. And I think the other thing to watch out for him, unfortunately, is like if another guy who's big and physically gifted winds up getting cut, they could also put in a waiver claim as well.
Number two,
Tyler Owens. All he did was continue to be the exact same Tyler Owens that we saw at camp, Anthony. It's easier to move on if you want to from Derek Forrest now than it was before this last game, because are you concerned that, oh man, if Owens gets out there for real, like, are we going to regret not having Defoe? And maybe, and you know, if you can keep Defoe around on the practice squad, like, that's a really good, solid, he's one of the better practice squad players in the NFL. Like, this dude was a starter 2 years ago and he wasn't a bad one. Like, Owens is a last line of defense. He's made a couple of touchdown-saving tackles. He has been a monster on special teams. Like, this dude's going to not only make the team, at the very least on special teams he's going to play, and he's the kind of guy that if I'm Joe Witt Jr., I'm like, I might find a role for you. And certainly, you know, he's an undrafted free agent rookie. These guys don't come in and become all pros or pro bowlers or anything, and he's probably not even going to play a whole lot. But he... there's a lot of talent there. And a year from now, even they signed Chin to a one-year deal. If Chin is awesome, then you'd probably just be like, oh, Jeremy Chin is great. He's a former defensive rookie of the year. But like a year from now, if Tyler Owens has replaced Jeremy Chin and is the starter next to Quan Martin, like that's a plausible storyline with how good of a camp this dude had.
Yeah, definitely. Just wanted to see him be consistent. And I think that's exactly what he did. And again, you're right. He did go out there and make another touchdown-saving tackle on the running back. I'm just like, good gracious. So the fact that you have a short tackler out there, you know, he's consistent. He's adhering to the scheme. I think, you know, he did just enough.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
You know what we wanted to see him do throughout the entirety of the camp.
More than enough. He's safely on the team.
Yeah. Number three.
Can't say the same about this dude. Anthony, your second choice was?
Oh, Kazmir Allen. I had clicked over on accident. Yes, Kazmir Allen was the second guy just because going into, you know, the final preseason game, we felt as though the training staff moved this guy around throughout all of camp. He started out as a receiver or strictly a punt returner, kick returner, transitioned over to the running back room. So obviously they see this guy as, you know, a guy that can be a playmaker. And, you know, in this final preseason game, he just, or throughout the preseason, he just didn't make enough plays or any really splash plays. So that's why, you know, he was our third guy in this pick six.
Yeah, I mean, you got Cliff last week being like, oh, this is a Deebo Samuel type role potentially for him. Like, we could see him taking handoffs. We could see him in the backfield. We see him as a receiver. And sometimes, like, with Deebo, you do that because he can do everything. He truly can. Sometimes versatility is a sign of he's actually not that good at any of them, but like he should be, and we're trying to find a place. And that's kind of Kazmir Allen. Like, he's a twitched up athlete. He definitely made some plays at UCLA, but at the NFL level, the level of twitch you need is different. I don't know that he's got like NFL twitch, right? Superior NFL twitch. If you're just as athletic as everyone else, that means you're one of the, you know, top 1% of athletes on earth, yeah, which is a sweet, sweet athletic thing to be. I would love to be that. So I'm not hating on it, but you're not going to have your athleticism let you separate and make plays to warrant a playmaker position. I just think if you're going to be a playmaker, you got to make plays. And Kaz Allen didn't make plays. And in fact, he had a fumble and missed some stuff. So yeah, I'm out on the Kaz Allen experiment, at least for
number four,
a roster spot. Number four, Javonte Jean-Baptiste. He was good again. He was solid. Like, he sets a good edge. He rushes smartly. He's got a little bit of pass rush savvy to him. He doesn't get washed to the frequency that, like, say, Jamin Davis does. Is Jamin still learning the position? Jamin's obviously got some tremendous other attributes. I think they've made it really, really hard at that spot. I think that they're dedicated to the Jamin Davis experiment. I also think if they got the right trade offer, that they would probably be smart to like, if you say, hey, a bunch of stuff has to go right for this to work out, or I can get guaranteed a whatever round pick with 1 year left on the contract, you might just take the trade and be like, hey, we tried and we wish you the best. We hope that the things that we taught you help you in your next endeavor, on a human level. But when we did our 53, we had both of them on. We had Jean-Baptiste on. We had Davis on. Just they're heavy at defensive line. And I'm okay with that for right now, because I also think they want to rotate those dudes a ton. They want to use some of them inside as three techniques, as we saw KJ Henry in this game. And I think you'll see Dorrance Armstrong do some of that as well, amongst that top line with, you know, Dante Fowler or Cleveland Furl inside and Jamin outside or Jean-Baptiste outside. So I don't know, man. Like, they've got that. That is one of the hardest position groups, I think, to divvy up, because there's a bunch of guys that are pretty even. I mean, Andre Jones Jr. as well had a couple of nice rushes last night. And you're like, I get it. I just don't know how many of them actually wind up making the team. And for Jean-Baptiste as a seventh round pick, it feels like he could be someone who slid. Certainly Andre Jones, you know, we didn't put him on the practice squad earlier because we kind of, we're trying to move a little faster through the 53, but he's one that I'll go back and add to the practice squad for our official list, if you will. But yeah, man, I would say Jean-Baptiste is a guy that I have on, but if they try to sneak into practice squad, it won't surprise me. And that's not reflective of anything more than numbers compared to like his play.
Yeah, nah, I definitely think he had a couple of good pass rushes. But again, like you said, like these guys, like I would say, would you say, KJ Henry's probably above them.
Henry's definitely above them.
He had some really good rushes yesterday.
He did, and he's been consistently better. He was a higher draft pick.
Yeah.
Which, again, like, not to say that that is indicative of, like, oh, they have to keep him because of the draft capital. Just, like, he's a better player.
Yeah. They also had
which is him, why he was drafted higher.
They also had him lining up at the D-tackle, which was also interesting. So, you know, looking at that versatility is also pretty inspiring too. So,
yeah, for sure. So I think that Jean-Baptiste, Davis, Jones are kind of battling for, in an ideal world, one spot, but we had it as two. I mean, it also depends. Like, it actually isn't that hard to make it two, especially if you don't do what we did, which is put Ridgeway and Mathis both on the roster.
And not keep an extra running back or
yeah, no, you know, three running backs. Yeah, we went real light at linebacker, just four of them with McGee, being on IR. I mean, that's another factor, right? Is like if Jordan McGee's on IR, that's a spot. If Jordan McGee's not IR because he's going to be ready for week one or even week two, well, that's a spot that you don't have available. So it is, man, these number crunches get real, real crunchy, which brings us to
number five.
Cole Turner, Anthony. What did you see from Cole Turner?
To be honest, I thought he had a bad game. But I will say in the first and 10, when you broke down, you know, the drops, one might not have been his fault because he thought it was zone and he might have been correct. And, you know, Jeff Driscoll might have got it wrong. And then the holding penalty, that was really bad. But outside of that, the big catch down the middle of the field, again, showing his versatility. And I think that's ultimately why, you know, Ron Rivera and them chose to get him. He's a big target. He can run. So he was able to, you know, display that. But, again, I think you summed it up perfectly. A mixed bag.
Yeah. Something Dan Quinn said, I think it was Friday, and then reiterated post-game Sunday night, is sticking with me with Cole Turner. And I don't know how to apply it, but I know that it's relevant. So Dan talked about how we know there's going to be some guys that just like kind of grind their teeth because they're so amped up for this game. You know, like your career's kind of on the line, mm-hmm. which means you're going to stress out about every single down, every single assignment, every block, every catch. And especially when you have a chance to make catches, like, oh my God, this is my shot. I'm the primary here. Like, am I going to get the ball? I got to catch it. Like, you can't play football well that way. And Dan talked about that on Friday, saying like, this is probably going to happen. And our message to the guys is like, just relax and play. Like, we know what you can do. Like, now go show it. Because he wants them to play well. He wants to judge them based off of their best. And then sure enough, on Sunday, the first half, they're tighter than hell. And DQ goes in at halftime and he's like, hey, broskies, just play. And that message was then relayed via the press conference afterwards so that we all know that it happened. And sure enough, in the second half, the talent obviously evens out. You got the end of the Patriots roster versus the end of the Commanders. And you saw how that went as opposed to the Commanders backups hanging very well with the Patriots starters. But you also just have guys playing looser, playing faster, playing more physical. There's a different crispness to the second half of that game for Washington in all fronts. And Cole Turner's one of those guys. He goes out and makes that play that he maybe doesn't make in the first half. And so my question, my inability to process this, Anthony, is do they look at it as in that Cole Turner learned his lesson? If he just goes out and plays, he's going to be fine. And we think Cole Turner playing is really valuable to us. Or, hey, we told you guys, don't play tight. And you did anyway. And we can't trust you when the lights are on. And that's actually part of the evaluation. Who's a gamer and who's not? And I think that you could make an argument over the past couple of years that Cole Turner's just not a gamer. He's a dude who plays pretty well in practice a lot.
Yep.
And then in the games, you got critical mistakes. And that's multiple years running. And so I don't know what to make of that. If they think they can coach that out of him, and, you know, I do think that's something that is coachable, by the way, right? Like, there is some of it, some people that have it supernaturally, you're always just going to be able to rely on in a way that's different. But I do think for more fringe-type guys, if you can give them the tools they need to feel confident, that actually is one of the arts of coaching. So I do think it's possible, and if they think they can do that to Cole Turner and it's worth it, okay. I would probably just rather look at Colson Yankoff and be like, this dude's been a gamer consistently. He's still getting better. He's super raw, but he's actually not that far different from Cole Turner right now. I know he can't grow, and Cole Turner's ginormous, and they're different body types in that way. So that is points to Cole Turner, but I don't know what to make of that. The fact that Dan Quinn kind of called his shot, Turner is the walking epitome of it. And then what do they do with that information? I have no idea how they see that.
Yeah, I mean, Dan and Cliff both already understand that, you know, tight end, safety, those two positions are the toughest to monitor right now. So I think the preseason finale was an indictment of that. I think after halftime, if they just assess Cole's play after that, then, you know, he'll be in good standing. But, again, you necessarily can't trust it if – you know, you're tight, you know, the first half, and I got to tell you, loosen up.
Like, right. We can't be doing that once we get in the regular season. We need you to just play. I need you to come up. You know, all of a sudden, Zach needs a blow, and we're in a two tight end set on a third down, and this is something we want to, you know, the tight end's one of the primaries. I can't have you, I can't hesitate on the play call because I'm like, shoot, I don't know if Turner's going to, you know, psych himself out. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's exactly what happened to Cole Turner. Cole Turner might be listening right now. Hi, Cole. And being like, that's not how my brain works, guys. Like, I hate you. You're dumb radio people. And like, okay, fine. But DQ said it about someone, and it certainly seemed like Turner was one of those guys that fit the bill. Mm-hmm. And it's been, again, multiple years where in-game it just hasn't been as good. It hasn't been as productive. There's been big mental blocks, mental mistakes. So for whatever the reason is, you can't, as Cliff Kingsbury, be like, oh, shoot, I don't know if I can trust Turner here on a big third down in week three where Ertz, you know, he's run two vertical routes in a row and needs a blow and it's third down. Like, I can't have that. And so I don't know what they do there. All right, last but not least.
Number six.
We had Tariq Castro Fields. We kind of said it's Castro Fields, it's Chigozie Anuzium, and those two guys at corner are battling with Defoe at safety. And for Castro Fields versus Anuzium, advantage TCF. Anuzium had a couple of rookie moments. I think he's 100% on the practice squad. Like, they like his physicality. They like his size. He just needs more polish. He was an undrafted free agent for a reason. You think of the two-minute drill. Chig is in coverage on the sideline. Like, you have to make a tackle and keep a guy in bounds. And instead, he whiffs. Guy gets extra yardage and gets out of bounds. Like, those are the kinds of things that, unfortunately, are the margins between making a team and not. While Castro Fields, he's got a couple balls that kind of go over his head to receivers that are overthrows, but you're in good phase there. Like, you're not that far from the receiver. You're forcing a tough throw over you that's got to be a perfect drop in the bucket. Like, that's actually not bad coverage. And some of those are even second reaction plays where May breaks the pocket and is throwing down the field. What I don't know is on the big touchdown that got called back because the Patriots are incapable of lining up correctly, where Defoe winds up being the last guy back there. Like, I don't think that's Defoe's guy. I think he's coming from a middle third safety, and I want to know who blew coverage on that side. So if that was Castro Fields, that's obviously not going to help his case. But he's also been a good special teams player. I think he probably winds up making the roster. But I'm also open to other ideas, including someone who hasn't been in Washington for the entirety of the offseason, Anthony.
Who have you looked at? Oh, are you talking about just picking somebody up off the waiver?
Yeah, waiver wire.
Oh, I thought you
I wasn't about saying anyone in particular.
I'm like, hold on now.
I wasn't saying any. Was there someone that you? I mean, Stephon Gilmore got signed, so.
Yeah, he did get signed.
That would have been theoretical.
Wasn't happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I'll say real quickly about that, I'll just tag this on the end here. I think the way they've approached free agents is different because they know it's a developmental year, right? If you're trying to win this year, are you a better football team with Stephon Gilmore than you are without Stephon Gilmore? Yeah, even with he's not in his prime anymore, but I think he's better than what they've got. Certainly better down the depth chart than what they've got. However, you're trying to figure out how good you got it right now. You're trying to get Forbes reps. You're trying to get BSJ reps. And because of that, if you bring Gilmore in, they can't play. And so in this year where they're trying to figure out exactly what they need for next year, they need to actually do the figuring out. And so if they were 3 years from now and we're talking about, hey, we're a little thin at corner, but we think if we can get it straightened out, we're a Super Bowl contender or we're an NFC East Division contender, then you go sign Stephon Gilmore. This year, when the more important question is not can we win the division, but is Emmanuel Forbes good? Is he an NFL player? Is BSJ worth re-signing? Mm-hmm. Then you can't afford to give those snaps to a veteran. And frankly, Gilmore might also have not been interested, right? There's always that possibility that he wants to go to a contender. But that's where we're at, I think, with some of the rep distribution and some of the positions where it feels like they maybe could have been more aggressive in free agency. And they have a bunch of young guys they're trying to figure out. You kind of got to do the figuring out and give those young players space to figure it out.
Nah, I definitely agree.
All right. Stop and Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, why has the NFL de-emphasized the preseason so, so much? Logan and I discussed this morning on Take Command. We share it with you next here on the Team 980.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.